That was my attempt at an entrance noise. Hello, 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 hello. It clearly bombed, much like the sound of it. Listen, I'm trying new things, guys. I'm trying new things. Okay. Welcome to Part Time Alcoholics.
Pretty sure one of us can find an app on our phone, and we can do an intro. We can record something. We can do something enterprising.
You know, I'm sure.
We can hire some independent artists just for exposure, not pay them.
And I wanted to be Bismarck.
Anything not to hear that noise ever again.
I wanted to be Bismarck. Y'all don't want me to be Bismarck.
You know what? When you try new things, run it past us first before we start recording.
But I want the pure joy.
There's an executive committee.
Yeah, this is you didn't pass us through exco. This is a written warning.
This did not go through post production. Pre-production,
sorry. Anyway, welcome to Part Time Alcoholics, episode 11.
That sound what you made was a flaccid dick.
Like the Animaniacs, that his phone is disappeared.
Like your dick just got punctured, bro.
Yo, you hear with like, yo, man, don't give a damn.
You really don't give a damn.
AKA the Suburban Papa action with the flaccid dick, apparently.
Yo, it's Jermaine Dupri. And
the DIY Zeddy.
And your main man, ooh, Peyton Pulsar.
Yo, what a doo-poo.
Guys. You're my
I'm sure I have more nicknames.
I know.
What's the good Candy Spies.
Candy Spies, Dirty D.
Dirty D. That sounds wrong, right?
Big D.
Your favorite oily fireman.
You kinda. Hey?
The sexy Malevin.
Why am I Malevin?
Because you're not gonna give me.
You're gonna give me.
Peyton Pulsar is rocking a stash these days. We need to take a
picture. Oh, alright. Like, really. Okay, yeah. I'll post it to Part-Time Alcoholics.
Officer Snack.
On IG. Sure. Guys, throw a like. I posted this pic on IG and I had a young poll going. I was just like, say, okay, Zaddy, if you agree with this stash. And say, I called the chief and you said, this ain't it for... Mm.
Because people care about you.
And people said no.
No,
and
who said no?
I'm going to keep this thing.
I'm in.
I'm happy you kept it. Just don't buy a white van, please, because you're going to look like a old
dude. To all the haters, all I can say to you is log it off. Log off. Dun, 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 dun. You know that sound that Windows 7 used to make? Dun, 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 dun. Log it off. I don't give a fuck.
You.
I'll just bullshit. And you'll notice, man.
The accents is back. Yay. Yeah. Otherwise, fellas, how we doing?
How are we living, guys?
Yeah, it's alright. It's a short week, busy week. But it's okay. Alright.
Same with you.
Hey. Yeah. Actually, your week's like, what's going on
short
in your week?
Dude, this time it sounds busy. I'm doing too much. Hey. I'm doing
when are you
going
to have a long week? A long, stress-free week?
Oh, do those even exist? I don't know what those feels like. Those feel like.
Anyway, I'll help you find them. I'll help you find them.
So, today was interesting for me. So I'm rocking the Pinot mustache. You know, the one that Ron Jeremy's wearing in all the porno movies of the 80s and 90s.
Looking like Sergeant Baby Oil.
But. When I rock the Ray-Bans, then I look like Trafico. Trafico. So, like, I'm just like rocking meme mugs everywhere I walk. Just
Mugabe's.
Yeah, Mugabe's. I got the Peter De Villiers mustache going on, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, actually,
I look official. You could coach a fire rugby team right now.
You now need a baggy brown suit, and you should be just right.
What a Steve Harvey suit?
Yes,
no. Bro.
Shout outs to Steve Harvey. particularly his daughter Lori Harvey, because that is a
fatty.
Oh, for real, a snizzack.
Yeah, she is. She's pretty. She's very pretty.
Full course.
Even Jamie Foxx's daughter, also mad pretty.
Oh, Corinne Fox. But yes, you can get it.
Fun part about Lori Harvey, while we're here.
She was too.
So Lori Harvey used to date Diddy's son, I think Christian.
Yeah.
One of them. Then, I don't know what happened. I think Diddy waited for her to hit of age. Now, and then Daddy went in and he said, "Girl, where do you think these kids got their money from? Come with me. Let me take you on the holy day."
What didn't Diddy do?
He dated his son's ex.
Damn, that's wild.
Wild, right?
Wild.
Now you make you think, why did he break up with her? What's that other chick's name?
Cassie.
Was it because did Harvey's daughter just turn of age? It's like, hey, time is up.
Let me jump. I wonder what Steve Harvey is saying, though. No, because you think, speaking of fathers, what they're gonna say?
Mm.
Isn't Lauren Fishburne's daughter a porn star?
Fam.
Isn't also Samuel L. Jackson's daughter as well?
I don't know. Like, I know Lauren Fishburne. That's, and like, you're just like, yo, you're feeling, you're bringing the family name into the show. That's a lot to do. It's just like, daddy, I just want these dicks.
Mm. I gotta let you go. I can't help.
And you're a public figure.
She's not struggling for money. Lawrence Fishburne's daughter does it means she's doing it for fun, not because she needs the cash.
She wants these dicks.
Fam, that's all it is. She wants.
She wants to crack herself open a 6-pack of ding-a-lings and just have herself a ball.
Back to what, like, what's Steve Harvey? Steve Harvey's ain't gonna say shit because Steve Harvey wants some of that P. Diddy money. He just lost his show.
No, Steve Harvey lost his show, but because the bag, he got another show. Like, I think it was some kind of comedy. But no, Steve Harvey's
rich as shit.
And he's about to make a fuck ton of money.
Oh, did he switch to another show? I thought they fired his ass.
Like, they fired him apparently because he tried to get equity or something, but then there's, I can't remember the exact story, but he's leveling up from that show. Like,
oh, okay. I didn't know that part.
Five to making all of the money in the world.
So maybe he can say something to Diddy.
Here's the problem. Steve Harvey, this is what happens when you're too much of a strict dad. I remember this conversation we were having at some point. Because Steve Harvey is probably too much of a strict.
Episode two.
Fam, Diddy is going to put an elbow in that girl's asshole, fam. And it's not going to.
Diddy's probably fucked everyone in the entertainment industry, so it's just like
he's learned some shit.
No, but you know when you you have like dopamine releases, but the more you're exposed to something, the more desensitized you are, so the less dopamine release.
Mm.
So imagine Diddy's sex life and how wild it is. Because if you're just having your mama style sex, he's bored of it.
Fam,
missionary, don't talk
Diddy
to
him. Diddy has been missionary since 96, fam.
Diddy wants to hang you upside down from a balcony and fuck you with the risk of death.
If priests who never had sex before are fucking boys already, imagine what Diddy's doing.
Lori Harvey jumped in the deep end.
Yeah.
Lori Harvey jumped in the deep end.
She's also a freak, bro.
Swim with the sea monster.
Maybe she's also a freak. You don't know.
She's about to become one. She definitely about to become one. Anyway, shout outs for that as an intro. Lori Harvey getting her back blown out. Yes, this week we decided to go with some some vino internacional.
Ooh.
Purely because, you know what, it's weird. I went to a wine thing once, and like, as South Africans, we have this idea that our wine is dope as shit. And it is dope as shit, but also not really. Good, but it's not as good as we think it is.
Yeah.
By a fairly long shot. Like, we're fucking around with Australian wine. Like, that's...
But foreigners love our wine, though.
Because it's cheap.
Yeah. But like, it's for the price point. Like, that's what's it, for the price point. They're like, yo, this bottle should be a lot more expensive.
The thing is, apparently in France, because there is so much wine, the problem is that, like, ain't nobody actually want to go around looking through the thing to find the thing. But you can actually find mad, good, cheap-ass wines. Whereas here, like, if you think about it, few people are trying to spend, like, 150 rand on the regular for, like, our good stuff, which is like 150 bucks is like you're gonna get some good ass wine.
Mm.
And for 50 bucks, if I'm if I'm European and if I'm Brit, like when I was in England, shit, a bottle of wine is like £8.
Yeah.
If I can come here and buy a bottle of wine for like £2, I think it's great. Like the cheapness is already turning my taste buds into lunatics. It's like, ha 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 ha, yeah. We're winning. Yeah.
When I was in Italy, I actually asked like a 12-year-old kid for wine, advice on wine because they're allowed to buy it. Like, and he was buying. He was like taking bottles and I'm like, yo, dude, what the fuck should I take? So he looked at me.
See why Rome is falling apart.
This kid must be like 8 to 12 years old max. And it's like, he's picking out shit. I don't know if he's picking for his parents or himself, but he could buy it. And it's legal for him to buy it and drink it. So I shouldn't listen to how much cash I have. What? And he gave me a bottle of wine.
It's legal for a 12-year-old to drink wine.
In Italy, yeah.
That.
Yo, Italians are wild. Nuts. First, they're legalizing porn in the office. It's, it's the wild west.
Listen, you in grade 7, have some wine.
There's wine and beer in the vending machines.
Anyway, that is wild. Speaking of Italians, so we
then
got...
We wonder why they call us moon crickets and gobble goobs.
An ace of spades.
You know, ace of spades.
Shout out to these creative ass racists, guys. Let no one tell you that racists are not creative. So the first one we got up is L'Aqueduc from the Côte de Roussillon.
Côte de Roussillon, L'Aqueduc, I don't know how to tell you.
All of Europe, whenever they try to speak English, even their own language, whenever they're having interviews, they're like, there's always a.
French.
Yeah. I really want to one day just bump into someone and make them say that shit. This is, Domaine Gruyère. It's a product of France. It is like a Shiraz meets Carignan meets Grenache. I don't know what that means.
It's a Shiraz.
It's like it's a private school Shiraz. It's like a Shiraz that went to Hilton.
It's a heavier Shiraz.
But it's not that heavy, fam.
It is heavier than other Shiraz.
Anyway, it's supposed to have spicy hints of oak, blah 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 blah. No one really cares. What is more interesting here is that it doesn't pair well with pizza.
No,
I think is that like our standard now for anything? Yeah, it's like this doesn't pair with pizza.
This is actually a wine for grown-ups.
Yeah, this is a grown-up wine. They're not saying go visit Romans before you.
And then they're like, "Cowabunga, dude."
Actually, yes, this is definitely a wine for grown-ups. Like, I think you could romance your girl's mom with this wine.
Yes, yes. This is a wine you will impress a cougar with. Mm.
All right.
Why are you taking notes?
Hey, pull yourself up a glass.
Little ad. If you want a mature woman to suck your dick, this is the one to get.
Wow.
Yep. Just life.
I didn't hear a lie though. Thank you. If I'm honest, like I didn't hear a lie.
I don't know. I'm not drinking, so y'all give your review.
I'm not saying you have to drink the wine. I'm just saying sprinkle some on the.
Sprinkle. Wow. Okay. Wow. This is getting we're getting into Diddy's sex life.
We started on that vein.
Diddy.
Damn it! What didn't Diddy do?
But
it smells like meat.
It does. So during the conversation we had before, the German is like, yo, this smells like gravy.
It does. It smells like I just bried. Like,
then it must be heavy, dude.
Yeah.
Guys, gravy really makes you tired, bro.
It smells. Do you smell it?
Have you had too much gravy on Domino? The rest of the afternoon belongs to the couch.
But is that not why it's so beautiful? Hey, you're talking about not being able to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your answer. Get some Domino and gravy. You'll be here sleeping for the next 48 hours.
This is the wine that you put like a bit of it in the porky.
Mm.
I don't know if I...
It's a good wine. It's not a cooking wine. I'm not saying it's a cooking wine. I'm just saying it's thick.
What's the difference between wine, a drinking wine and a cooking wine?
The price. That's about it, really.
But like chemical composition, not cooking
wine. You're not going to buy a corked cooking wine. Like, then you're being an unnecessarily fancy person. Buy the cheapest red wine you can. Even if there's particles in it.
Basically, like...
It's just, like, cooking wine is cheaper.
Yeah.
My mind had it the other way around.
Mm. No. Mm-hmm. Like, cooking wine is... It's basically, like... What was that? Four Cousins.
Yeah.
Four Cousins. You can get, like, cheap, spicy Four Cousins.
Yeah.
Because what you want is something with actual flavor, though.
Yeah, don't cook with Four Cousins. Doesn't have flavor. That's just to get people drunk.
I mean, when you're
drunk... It comes in a 5-liter.
How many times have you been drunk and thought this was the best food you're eating in the world?
Oh, remember in Melville, there used to be that hot dog stand.
Yes.
Mm. I don't even know what meat that was. And I remember... Like, the meat smelled like washing powder. But, like, walking into the club, like, I don't know who the fuck is gonna eat this. And then you come out, Liddy, you're like, give me two of those hot dogs.
With extra onions!
Oh, onions. Right, you remember? Oh, like,
onions so oily, the bread will get wet.
Yes,
bread will get soggy.
Fam, yeah, you have to eat it immediately because if you held it in your two hands, the thing would just
snap and break.
Yo, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
The Caravan hot dog stand was also in Greenside. Same people, most likely.
And we wonder why obesity is eating us, fam.
Who's us? Mm. We're all in shape here.
I mean, this is also
all of story, us.
But that is because I think we should redub this place the Snack Box.
The snack box. Oh, okay.
Like a KFC snack box.
Oh,
like KFC.
Okay.
I mean, isn't it? It's kind of square. We're all snacks. We live inside it. Snack
it
box.
It makes it sound like we all have boxes in between our legs.
I mean, I don't know what didn't do.
Oh, right. Okay. Snack box.
We don't need any Streetwise 2s here.
We'll put that in for testing. Well,
it's better than the Slaghees at this point. I'm really not.
Yeah,
I'm not excited
like
about the Slaghees anymore.
That's giving us a reputation
that's
unnecessary.
Burning us. Yeah.
It's unnecessary. We don't need.
How did the streets know?
We don't sound like adults anymore.
Yeah, actually, like it's literally a frat house.
Anyway.
So
anyway,
tell us about the
like
what's the price?
Got it at Woolworths in their international wine section because
fancy,
there was a man, he was like, oh, what are you looking for? And I was like, fam, I'm just looking. I did more explaining to him than he did to me, which I also thought was weird. So I get there.
Did he actually work there or was it just a random dude? Did he think you were working there and was asking you for wine?
So this is the thing. At first, I thought he was a random dude. So I'm just going about my business. What about this? Looking at the things. Then he goes, you know, what are you looking for? You should try. So I'm like, no, you know. And I see his name tag. And I say, you know, buddy, I'm actually just looking for something nice, international. He's like, oh, what do you like? So I tell him. He's like, oh, okay. Then he keeps crying. Then I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to carry on doing my thing. I'm like, all right, cool. I don't know what you want. And he's like, then he does this thing where he watches my eyes and then points to it before I look at
it. So he does that bullshit like at exclusive books. Like, can you recommend a book? You're like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. There you're holding a book leaflet under the counter. Have you read Life of Pi? Q&A is good. Right. Like, Shantaram, have you read it?
So at some point, I'm like, all right, let me actually test this dude. I'm like, how's this Leako doing? He says, it's nice. Like, it's really nice. It's very popular.
Cool.
Okay.
But what did you expect? Do you really think like the owners of Woolworths are making
their
staff members doing the wine pairings?
But dude stepped up, right?
That's the thing. If you're gonna come to, I would have had
he's trying to be approachable. But like, what were you expecting? Like, he was gonna tell you about undertones and
like
earthy notes.
I didn't to ask
peaches and
don't come and tell me a
coffee.
Wait, you, the receptionist, come and sell me a car. I asked you how many liters is this engine. You're like,
So, intellectually,
it's kind of popular.
Intellectually, you know what?
Maybe if you can just actually, you know, the economy.
Then why did you step to me in the first place? Just calm down.
Yo, but anyway, so then I asked him about this. He said it's popular, but then recommended something else, which actually then turned out to be from Boschendal. So I was like, listen, my guy.
That's not international.
I'm like, it's fine. I will look. Mm. I will look by myself. So yeah, I picked this, and we'll get to the next one in the second round.
Okay.
But yeah, the other one is, it's called Blood of the Bull. Ooh. I actually just really like the name. It's Sangre de Toro. Mm.
From Spain?
From Catalonia, even.
Ooh. Ooh.
Mm. Oh. Very, very thick thing. I hope it is.
I hear this is Messi's favorite wine.
I think it could be Messi's
favorite wine. I hear it's Messi's favorite wine.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard this.
That sounds like marketing hype that you bought all the way. You just bought in.
No, I mean,
maybe it is Messi's favorite wine. Who knows? Guys, please tweet Messi. Tell him Part-Time Alcoholic sent you. Ask him if this is his favorite wine.
Yeah. Do all of that.
Do all of that.
IG him. Tell him Part-Time Alcoholic's got
spam the him. Send him dick pics. Pics of your titties if that's how you
and apply. And you win a date with Yolisa.
Yes, you do.
You know?
Yes.
If you hashtag part-time alcoholics.
Yes, hashtag.
Or at part-time alcoholics.
Hashtag part-time alcoholics suka fro. Like, we can actually have a whole dating show.
Yeah. This could be so, you get to win a date with Yenison Kele.
Yes.
He's got 1/8 of a beard. It's a bok bar.
It's now like a fifth.
Yeah, it's an at eighth. Least a it's fifth. A teenth. It's a teenth.
Oh, yeah, it looks cool. I think it looks cool.
It suits him, actually.
Thing is so ridiculous. It's measured in ounces. Like, the Americans have it on their system.
It
like,
just means I'm dedicated.
And it connects to nothing. Have you ever seen a beard that connects to nothing? What?
Which is kind of like our conversations. You see, my beard reflects the work. Like, we never connect to anything.
So we should have a bet that depending if yours loses, then we get to shave it off.
Yeah, actually.
Y'all just want me to look 12. Like, this is really what's going to happen.
You look 12 already.
Like, ladies who are trying to find him a date, he doesn't look 12.
I mean, listen.
He looks like a grown ass man.
I am a grown ass man, but if you save like who, if you like looking 12 ass niggas, then
listen. Wow.
I mean, look, as long as I'm old enough to consent,
is your logic that you're keeping them away from the actual 12 year old?
Yes, fam, I'm saving the 12 year
old. I heard Andrew Schultz talk about like Ariana Grande is like the gateway drug to pedophiles. So like Ariana Grande keeps men away from little children. Yeah.
Fem. I feel anime does the same thing. Because anime does some strange things.
And you be watching a lot of those Popeyes.
No, but anime got some wild storylines.
No, but you be watching a lot of those Popeyes.
Realize something. I mean, there's a reason why they don't go to cartoons.
Those Popeyes.
I got it hooked on
but
anime.
But not the fighting ones.
No, the fighting ones. The fighting ones are...
They fight in a different way. they fight with tentacles.
You watching anime porn?
Yeah, fam, hentai is wild. Hentai is the last part of porn that has, like, a plot. Yeah. And the plot is wild. It's like, yo, you killed my brother. I must avenge you.
Yeah, porn...
With these tentacles.
porn, like... In like the mid-2000s, started having a script, and it was like, okay, so you guys are... Now porn is ridiculous again. Where I saw this one porn where this daughter is fucking... She obviously of age. She's fucking her boyfriend, and then the mom comes into the room. And then the guy pretends to be a lamp. Then, now this whole scene is her pretending not to see him.
Wait,
and then she even goes to the lamp to try to switch it on, and she's pulling on his arm to try to switch on the lamp. And she goes, "Oh, okay, the lamp must not be working."
Oh,
but you know good and hell well that you see that nigga.
This dude,
and he's a big black
head.
Dude. Yes, he put a lampshade on his head. A big black dude with a lampshade on his head, and she's pulling on his arm, and she's like, "Oh." Oh, this lamp might not be like, come on, you know good in hell. Come well, you see that nigga like stuff. Like, porn is ridiculous again.
Shout
like.
Out to pornographers. That is amazing. That is the greatest shit I've seen ever, or I've heard of. I wanna watch that. I'm gonna go look for that shit. But yes, let's move on to what? Like, how far are we? 24 minutes in. Let's get to the business of the day. How do we want to start? Do we want to start with weddings?
Semi-serious?
Or mass shootings?
Yeah, let's.
Because that's how we go. Shootings. We either go weddings or mass shootings.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do the shootings. It's hyping now. Let's do some shootings.
So, here's the thing that confuses me. Einstein said, like, ooh, look at me quoting people even. Definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. Is all of this conversation that we're having around mass shootings not exactly the thing? Because it happens literally every time and it's deeply frustrating. Because
the problem is, the people want the same result. Nobody cares about the life lost. The NRA and American government making mad money off gun sales. Why would they change it? Why would they change something? They're making all the money. That's what they want. But that's the result they want.
So my thing is then, why are we feeding into it? Like, at some point, I feel like you've got to look at the shit and be like, alright, well. Like, case in point. If I, for some reason, were to get back together with Voldemort, and then in 6 months' time, be back there, like, at some point, y'all niggas gonna be like, ah, fam.
Because
right, like what are we doing here? Like, I can't keep feeling bad for you.
If somebody's benefiting off yours and Voldemort's getting back together and break up, and that's the person of power who can actually change things, if the person's benefiting from that interaction, people are gonna leave you. You think the American government or the NRA cares about the people who died at these places? They don't give a fuck.
It's not the NRA. I get the NRA thing. My thing is it's everybody else. It's the everybody looking at this exact same car crash that we've seen 1,000 times.
They don't have the power to change it. So the people who care actually don't have the power.
I don't even think they're trying to have the power. Like, they're... Because what is the story? Mass shooting happens. People say, oh, gun laws.
Yeah.
Other people say, it's guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but bump stock... whatever fucking AK-47 blah, blah. And then it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and then everyone forgets, and then next one, and we do the cycle again. My thing is, as the people who are not the NRA, why even begin to participate? Like, if the way you think you're going to change it is by jumping back into that cycle of, well, maybe we should
need to, because the NRA narrative is, how do you stop these people, the crazy people with guns? Oh, give the good people the guns. Guess what? More guns sold.
So leave them to say that, because they're going to sell their guns anyway.
That's
like, I'm saying, as the people who are like, okay, let's go for common sense shit. Next time you see a white dude... No, what I'm saying, next time you see a white dude with a trench coat, instead of, oh, okay, you know what we need to do is... go beat his ass. Go stop and frisk him. Go do something actual.
They're too
busy. And what's this? Because if you stop and frisk enough white people, like just randomly, like, hey, what are you doing? What are you... What's the legislation like? Hey, listen, guys, we don't like what you're doing here. We don't like what you're doing here.
Yeah.
So...
but they're not going to do it. Like, they're not going to do it because they're too busy stopping and frisking people of color.
What's changed since Columbine?
Not a fucking thing.
What year? Columbine is 2001 or 2005?
Oh, Eminem was still hot when Columbine was like a thing.
It must be like...
We were still watching WWF, fam.
When there was still an F.
Yeah.
Mankind was still a thing.
Mankind in his sock. Yo, we could still smell what The Rock was cooking.
Yeah.
Fam. But this is exactly the point.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. Mm. It's not going to change because we're...
The guy who can change something...
the whole conversation is a red herring.
The guy who can change something is the head of Congress right now. Mitch McConnell. He earned $1.26 million last year as direct donations from the NRA. How are you going to mess with your own money like that? The one man who has the power to change something.
Because to be fair, Mitch... okay. Let's take that hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch doesn't want to fuck with his $1 million. You think he couldn't get $1 million from the opposite lobbyist?
Well, he could, but it's not happening right now.
Yeah, because he's sitting in that pocket. So like, I think that's my point. Like, I don't even think it's like a money thing in that sense. Like, obviously, yes, people do want their money, but $1 million in the grand scheme of things, fam.
No, but dude, that's direct donations. You know how much you must be getting from other groups linked to it? Yeah, gun manufacturers.
Ammunition.
Ammunition guys.
Body armor. You know these
the guys who supply love the American military. Camouflage
clothing.
Yeah.
Everything.
It all links up, man. Mm-hmm. And if you fuck with the NRA, NRA has influence because all of them are members of the NRA. They can easily take that away from Mitch.
Wasn't the NRA, they were also linked to like the prison industrial complex where the prisoners were making the shells for the ammunition.
Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see that John Oliver shit about prison labor?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yo, America's
but those wild. Like they use prison labor to make all America's number plates.
But it's not, it's like it's everything.
It's everything, but I'm saying like that's where like it sort of started. Mm.
Guys, who the fuck made prisoner poker? Like, that thing with the that's a sick-ass motherfucker. Like, who was like, yo, you know what we should... Let's get the prisoners to sit in the rodeo pit.
Oh yeah.
And then just like, whoever flinches... Yes, I'm flinching, mother... It's a cow!
It's a bull, bro.
It's a whole... Fam.
Dude.
Nah.
Apparently you should stand still because if you move, it targets movement.
Apparently you should just not get in the way.
I know, but you don't have a choice.
Don't
should not be there.
And actually,
but if they offer you, let's say you're in prison, you getting your ass raped all the time, they tell you, yo, we're taking a year off your sentence. You jump into this thing, and last 2 minutes. You in there, fam?
So here's the thing.
I'm also in there.
Here's the thing. They told us how much the dude gets paid for that shit.
Oh, he gets paid.
It's a dollar.
Nah, then that's
a single solid. No. It's because like that's part of the whole point they're making about the prison industrial complex and the labor. They don't pay them by in any kinds of like money. Like there are other jobs where you get like 69 cents a day. Like you get. No, that is like one of the highest paying jobs in jail. It's a dollar, my nigga. So there you go.
So they're running their own forex within a prison. They change the value of that dollar within prison.
Yeah, that's why like ramen. That's why 2 minute noodles is fucking. It's gold in prison. Like 2 minute noodles is apparently.
How
like,
are you sneaking 2 minute noodles up your ass into prison, fam?
Do you think like an anti-rape strategy in jail is get someone on the outside to send you all the commissary? Then you take that money and you just buy all the noodles, buy all the with cigarettes.
Commissary is limited.
Oh, you can't buy all.
You can't. You can't just get like send me 5k. They restrict you.
But either way, even with that, you could still. I know apparently.
It's currency. Be like, don't beat my cheeks. Here's some cigarettes.
It's given to the prison, and the prison gives it to you as an allowance.
Still, I will allow you to have these cigarettes. Just don't beat my cheeks.
See, except I think then you run into the problem of someone be like, well, why can't I just take these cigarettes from your ass?
And then clap the cheeks.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear this coming from
you.
Myself.
You know, no matter how big you are, right, you're going to run into Green Mile in there.
Hey, dog.
And Green Mile is going to fetch you no matter how strong
and
you are.
And Green Mile got 5 other miles with him. Green Mile got a whole highway, fam. You out here like, yo, there's only one of me. I might know all the Jeet Kune Do, but at some point...
Anyway.
Fam, I feel like at some point, they just get you.
Yeah. You to be honest with you, like, with the shooting things, and yeah, like... I do think World War III might have already started. It's just, it's not going to be the hot war where people are storming beaches anymore. It's a system of, you don't need to invade a country to actually invade the mindset of that country. So what Russia's doing to America, that's a war. That's already war. That's a social war. You change the mindset and watch them implode. Watch them destroy themselves because they split already. Create a civil war within a country. There's no need for you to invade, fuck all.
So, are you saying you think this is, like, Russian social terrorism?
Absolutely. You create the divide, and then just watch it expand.
But these motherfuckers have been shooting these niggas long before Mitch.
But not at this rate, bruv. Like, yeah, there was maybe one mass shooting, but two mass shootings a year.
Think,
now
about,
like
think about the strategy. So, let's say... No, not even let's say. So, Russia make Trump president. Mm. You're talking about a nation that's heavy in patriotism. Mm. And if you don't call the president Mr. President, that is like...
That's your ass.
Now look at how people are talking about their president. Mm. You're talking about the most patriotic people on this planet, funny blue earth.
Mm.
And now all of a sudden there's just so much slander towards their president. So now if you're attacking your own leader, then what's happening to all your structures? All your structures. Mm. And then you're going to start second guessing your judicial system. Then you're going to start second guessing, I mean, the three branches? It's the judiciary.
Judiciary, congressional, executive, and legislature.
So now if you second guessing all three branches and now you're second guessing the financial system, you're like, yo, fuck this.
Mm.
I'm not using dollars, I'm using Bitcoin now.
Mm.
And Bitcoin is not a currency that is tied to any country. It's literally a global system.
Isn't the beauty of Bitcoin just, sorry to interrupt it, like,
that's fine.
Entirely, you know how they always said, guys, money is just what we agree that it is.
Yes.
Bitcoin is a perfect example of how money isn't real.
Didn't you tell me that they hacked it recently? They found a way to hack the blockchain. This unhackable, like, recently, someone hacked the blockchain.
We were talking about that, I can't remember what the conversation was because I was drunk as shit. But someone had found a way to hack a blockchain.
Yo.
And I was like, yo.
So you mean that, so what you can do to hack a blockchain, because it's a 3-point verification, then you hack all 3 points of that verification. But the verification is theoretically random. So that means you need to preempt and know what those 3 points of verification before the transaction gets sent through.
Google hacking the blockchain.
Yo. Somebody did it. They did it.
Yo.
They got you.
Like, if n equals zero, then n, I know m n equals I-G-G-R. N plus one, where n
zero equals Negro.
Where x tends to zero. There you go. Got him.
Because apparently mass shootings, no one really cares. But we're all desensitized. It's late now. Actually, that makes an interesting point. You know how our parents always said, fuck off, go outside, go play, go run. And we're like, mom, Tekken is popping right now.
Mm. Yeah.
And she was like, fam, I'll beat your ass. Now you have to go run. So the Fortnite kid who won $3 million.
$3 million.
So I'm working on the thing, and I've done this story before, but I'm working on it again. The esports industry is worth more than film, music, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, and the NBL combined.
Mm.
Like, Jesus. Together.
Yeah.
The, like...
all major sports.
Dota,
not FIFA,
yeah.
But... All the American majors.
Yeah, I know Dota.
I've seen the
esports
finals of MotoGP and Formula One.
That they get... Yeah, Dota. Yeah, what was it? Dota had more viewers than, like, I think the 2016 NBA finals or some shit. Like, it's...
Last night...
It's nuts.
I watched the Gran Turismo final. Gran Turismo was a game, racing game. I watched the 9-lap final for the GT2 series.
I can actually see how that might be entertaining. But if we coupled that with the fact that if you sit in your house and learn how to hack shit and then get the blockchain. First off, between being a gamer and a hacker, you might never need a real job ever in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
just as a gamer, man. You don't even need the hacking skill. Just be a
See, the problem with being a gamer is that, like...
I don't think PewDiePie is a great gamer, man. But he's, like, he's so fucking rich.
I don't think he's a good gamer, but he got in there early.
Yes.
I think now you need to be an elite gamer. So now I feel like if you're going to be a gamer, you need to be like NBA. Like you need to...
The problem with gaming is... it's like golf and another elite sport is... if you don't have the correct connection and speeds and
the LAN things, the
and right you have lines. Just a little bit of lag, just yeah. watch them fetch your yeah. ass. Yeah. So you just a little bit of lag.
Yeah, no, if you're
look, finishing lost, fam.
But guys, here we have 100 gig fiber lines. We can do it. We can keep up with the international cats.
Fam, I can't even watch Formula One streaming here yeah, without pixelating with you guys on the net.
This is 10 megabytes, dude. This is 10 megabytes. We're talking about 100 gig lines. Yeah. You can't do it. It's available. If you pay for it.
Yeah, look. And that's my thing. If you pay for it, that is... So, look.
No, but what was my argument? My argument is elitist. It's elitist in the sense that your entry-level capital investment is going to be very high if you don't have like if you're not running those speeds.
I don't think it's
if you're not running like the proper graphics card, and then
but I don't think it's at the level that like you could be
so I can play pro. Dota on my phone.
No, but you can be a pro with a $5,000 PlayStation linked up to the PlayStation network and a good $5,000 5Gs.
But this is what we're talking
about.
But
we're not talking about like a good goal set. A professional goal set is going to cost you close to 50K. We're talking about a tenth of that. And you're earning almost as much, if not more money than a golfer.
I think I see the middle ground in what you're saying. Because I think that's what you're saying. Like even $5,000 is where something like basketball is you need your legs.
Mm.
You need your legs and two hands. And then an understanding of the rules of the game.
And go get it.
But you're not going to be a pro like without training. There's circumstantial things.
And I think the connection can be tied to like music, especially South African music, like Kum, where it was dudes in Umlaz where no one had it, except for the one kid.
Mm.
And it's like, we all going to Uncle Ndo's house, we're all going to do the things. Mm. And so like, that's what you do. You go play FIFA. I mean, that's how we play. I play places like, I got a PlayStation late, and then I never got the PS3 until I bought my own one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but the kids who had the PS3 was like, iPhone, so...
I'm coming over, right?
Like, so this weekend, you just clear out whatever you have, whatever's happening.
Even if you're not home, just leave the keys for me.
Right, that's fine. That's how I got to be friends with so many people's moms. Like, it's like, this is... Not even like that. Like, there's some actually just some very nice aunties. But it was like, fam, if you're not home... I like your mom. She's nice. She cooks for me. Go do your things.
That's why he brought La Echo Duck, because this is the cougar wine. He knows it. He knows it well.
But there is a thing to be said, and especially if you can thing it. There is a thing if you can swing it. There is definitely a thing to be said for actually kids. Maybe don't go outside. There's pedophiles out there. Go play on your computer.
Yeah. Dude, pedophiles are fetching you on that PC.
Go
yeah, but
play.
You have to leave your house to fetch them.
Go play Minecraft.
Go, fam.
Like, apparently, like, kids are learning about, like structural engineering, programming, algorithms.
It's
like
fucking crazy. Yeah. Like, kids learn programming off Minecraft.
Yeah, my little brothers play Minecraft off their phones.
Mm.
Yeah. And they're, guys... We live in a wild ass world. Because I was trying to tell my mom this, and my mom, like, I could see the computations were just not working. It was like smoke. What do you mean? So then they mustn't go to school. But it's school.
You know what the funny thing is? Like, I was reading an article, and I was also talking to my sister about this. And guys, we can't say proficient in Excel and PowerPoint and Word on our CVs anymore. What are you saying? I took that shit off. Like, a decade ago, because if you're not proficient in C#, C++, HTML or SQL, SQL, SQLite, what are you saying? What is your?
I think everybody needs SQL, especially if they're working with like data and Python.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying is you can know like remember like. Two decades ago, if you knew how to make the sum give you the answer
on Excel, you were a genius.
Proficient in Excel, you're hired.
If every time you
put that on your CV now,
2 times 2, and then every time you press enter, it gave you 4, 6, 8, 10. You were the one.
Can I be honest with you? Like, I'm in the industry of data. I work with data every day, and. Yes, you gotta have those little things, but to be honest with you, the tool that I use the most and actually makes me my earnings or makes me justify my earnings to my company?
Excel.
No, PowerPoint.
I was going to say Word.
Oh, PowerPoint.
PowerPoint. If you can put together, yes, you use all the skills to bring it up, but if you can put together a good PowerPoint presentation and present it well to a board.
The power is bullshit.
Yours. The power is yours.
Amen.
It's what makes my money. It's the what power makes bullshit. It makes
so
a company
what saying
buy
is
and sell things.
The executive management doesn't understand all the mathematics.
Hell
like,
no.
All
the statistics.
Hell no. They
make
don't.
It palatable for
they
me.
Don't they don't care that you took 2 days worth of data to bring this one line. They want to see that one line, and if you can quickly explain what that one line
means.
Sharp. And if when thumbs the line up, comes in done. It goes, well, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. So then they're like, yo.
Dude, if you're good at presentations, and it looks professional, like all your lines, this line spacing, your everything is on point and it's sharp and to the point. Fam, it's taken me further in my career than any of the database tools I know.
I thought you were gonna say power pivot or like some.
What is power pivot?
It's like pivot
it's Excel. Yeah, it's Excel, but you, like you yeah. query databases. So it's like you set up, they call them cubes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a bunch of power, like a bunch of pivot tables. They call a cube and then you query. So you say in this province for this age demographic, in this geographic location, and then you ask a question, it's all based on a business question.
Okay.
How many people are drinking Black Label? And then all those pivot tables, the province table, the graphic, geolocation, the demographic, the LSM, all those pivot tables are in a cube. And then you interrogate that and based on your questions. And you literally, it's like it's a drag drop thing. Like you click and then it gives you. And then, but now you have a data warehouse, and all the data resides there. But then Power Pivot structures it.
We had this exact, not this exact conversation, but the spirit behind this conversation is exactly the conversation we had the other day. We were talking about the people who do the work and not the people who get paid for the work.
Facts.
And this is the same thing, because. Think about it. Okay, Power Pivot, right? It requires you to actually know what the fuck you are doing.
Yeah.
As to an extent does Excel and the things you work on, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shit that pops off?
The presentation.
Fam, Google Slides. Got you. Got you. Got you. I make the shit look pretty.
I use Power Pivot. I use SQL. I use quite a few things to bring this data together because it takes 2 days of work to put this presentation together.
Mm.
No one gives a fuck about all the 2 days of work.
Exco doesn't know shit about that.
No, when I walk into an Exco meeting, I'm taking the presentation. The presentation, that they sign on the presentation, money moves out the bank.
I have to work with unstructured data that I get from like mobile devices, laptops, put that in SQLite, and literally have to decode it myself. And that would take about... Now that method, 3 to 4 days, let's just say best part of a week, and all for like 2 lines of track data, and then it's put in an intelligence report and be like, alright, cool, look, thanks fam, good job.
Two things, our bosses are stupid, and B, our bosses are stupid. Okay, no, okay, they're not stupid, they are.
They're ignorant to the fact as to what it takes to put these things together.
Even
if they were not ignorant, if they knew, if they were knowledgeable of what it takes, even
still,
if
they
do know,
have to present it to someone else.
Remember, they gave a fuck about your KPIs. They have their own KPIs.
Mm.
So they don't care it took you 2 days. They need those 2 lines to...
You know, our bosses are just concerned about value add. They don't care what it took to get that information. Get the information.
Yeah.
That's value add.
That's...
If you're not doing... So, like, they know the overhead of your job. But with regards to the intricacies, where you're decoding information, or you're becoming a root user, or you're jailbreaking, or... They don't know that. They don't care about that. They don't know how to root a phone. They don't know how to put it in download mode.
Remember the thing you said to me? The whole system looks upside down.
Yeah.
There it is. There's the upside down. Because the person who has to reroot, recode, do all of the actual work that makes the thing happen. That's not really, not always really the person who gets the money. The person who gets the money is the dude who stands on the stage at E3 and says, and guys, welcome to Red Dead Redemption.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've done it. Like, speaks for 5 minutes. My nigga, I can make a speech.
Steve Jobs wasn't doing shit.
Guys.
But like in terms of like strategy and like putting systems in place in terms of structure, he was the boss of like managing people and putting systems in place, but with regards to the coding and everything, he's like,
we have
guys. Good managers don't do work. Good managers walk around and make sure the people who follow the instructions
delegate
are capable enough to delegate and bring people up underneath them enough so the delegation will lead up to an end product that they
get. I am not just I agree with that entirely. My point is only that Vin, the pay discrepancies should not be so wild. Like, because we are all, okay, we're all in this system to provide to the system the thing that makes the system work best. Now, if you're a good manager, the thing that you provide is that you can get all the other people to work and blah, blah, blah. And that is it's a very rare skill, because a lot of people then try and micromanage and be like, wee, 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 and people are like, fuck off. Not saying that's not a skill. What I'm saying is that skill and the doing the Cody bit skills, those are not 3 tax brackets apart. Like, those need to come closer together, because, yeah.
Also, the person, the manager, has like maybe 10 to 15 years work experience. If you're coming in with work 5 years no work experience.
Work experience no longer matters. We live in a world where work experience, it matters, but it literally doesn't. The world has moved so fast now that if you look at a lot of what's happening, work experience is a hindrance.
Do you know what work experience does for managers? Is that when managers have dealt with enough people face to face and had those, that's what a lot of new guys coming up struggle with. Like a new people who come up, especially like the people who now I manage, what they struggle with is speaking to people. They struggle conversing with somebody and relaying a message to another person face to face.
I will say where work experience is a real thing, when shit hits the fan.
Can you keep calm under pressure?
The people with experience. Yeah, no, it's fine. Mm-hmm. The people with experience will solve for it.
Yeah.
And it's more often than not, if you have no work experience and shit hits the fan, you can't solve for it. And I'm saying in everyday operations, you will be able to work, but just let there be a variable just thrown in that just like makes everything chaotic, and you just need a comment to say, I've experienced this before, I know what to do.
Actually,
thing is that when somebody in my team has, oh, this thing is on fire, they will take 2 days searching on the net or whatever to find the result and find the person to speak to, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me just call Daryl. Daryl, this is happening. Okay, cool, perfect. This is the answer. Done. Because I knew who to speak to because of my experience. Like, in line with what you're saying.
Which is fair. And I agree with that. I'm just looking at a lot of things. And, like, people keep talking about experience. And I'm sort of bumping into it as well, where it's like, that part is right. But then they also talk about experience. Like, somehow experience will be able to make you do your job better. And oftentimes, in certain climates, experience is exactly what gets you putting your foot in your mouth. So, and I will use this especially in something like media, where you have 40 years of experience, but the whole climate changed 5 years ago.
There's a dichotomy of what we're talking about, because if we're talking about experience in terms of crisis management and efficiency, then you need work experience. But if you're talking about ingenuity, that's where experience starts to become a hindrance, because you're like, but if we want to sell to the blacks, then is watermelon and fried chicken.
It's the whole frustration. We have this whole thing, actually, at the office. We're so... I hope I get my job, otherwise I am sacked. So the other day, it was, there was a story people wanted to run, And they were like talking about their readers, and it's like these, you know, like, you know, you, but you have to make the thing like it's for old ladies and Bryanston. Said, those aren't our readers. Those are not our readers anymore. Like, I think it's something like 70% of ST's readership is black and like suburban, but like black. But the people who work there have all the experience in 1990 what. They're all from the Big Bang Club. They all did the things with exciting.
I see cool the split stories. You guys are talking
and
about.
And here's the problem. Because you're like, fam, this is unnecessary what you're doing. That's unnecessary, that's unnecessary, that's unnecessary. You don't need to do it like that. No, but you see, the way I've done...
Yeah, I've reached that as well. Like some people, I've been doing this for 20 years and it's worked. I'm like, no, you've been doing it for 20 years inefficiently. We can rake out another 5% if you just change your ways. And they refuse. And those are the people who get early retrenchments. But anyway...
you see... we're not gonna go people's files.
So I understand like the split of management. I think a good manager with good experience can be a manager in any industry, first of all, because they're not managing based on that industry, they're managing people.
But that also means like, so sorry, that means you think soft skills are actually what make a good manager.
Yeah, absolutely. You manage by walking around and talking to people. That's what you do.
Management is just human resource. It's interaction with your human resource. I'm not saying it's human resources, the partner, but if you're not
trash,
if you're not a good people's person, then you're not going to be a good manager.
Because
you're ideally managing that resource. That person has a skill and you have to manage that skill.
I found it very hard to transition. Like, very hard to transition from being that worker and relying on my own skills into being the mentor. Like, I'm not going to produce this product by myself end to end. I'm going to instruct people, advise them, show them how, see what the end product is. We're going to work together. Yeah, it takes a bit longer. But I know that as I build that relationship, I'm being a better manager. And therefore, the product can then be
I want to continue extruded. This. Stick a hole in there. We haven't stick a pin in there.
Yeah.
We haven't done the blood of the bull.
The blood of the bull.
So... Quick taste.
Say that thing.
Sangre de toro.
Sangre de toro.
You gotta say it like you're trying to steal someone's wife.
You gotta get
you need a hairy chest.
Benicio del Toro.
Del Toro. You see,
on the marketing campaign, like,
you see, he's a Benicio of a bull.
This one
know Toro is a bull. And I'm riding that for all it's worth.
It smells less gravy-ish. Less meaty.
Less gravy.
It does have more fruity aromas, which is I kind of see that.
I don't get the fruity aromas.
Well, I'm assuming the fruity means less meaty, so that's what I'm getting.
I mean, meat is just basically fruit that makes noise. Meat is fruit that makes noise.
I actually prefer this. This is nice. I like this.
It smells like woodier and oakier, and like almost more mellowish.
I like it.
It didn't tell us what blend it is. It just said original.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It tastes like a little lightish mellow. It tastes like a lightish mellow.
Yeah. It's much earth. Oh my god. Okay. No, I'm not gonna say it's much earthier. It is much more mellowish. Yeah. Oh my god. Right.
I was actually gonna say, do you guys realize how much you hate cliched descriptors? But then you guys use all the cliche descriptors when you're rating the wines.
I've never heard someone say it's like licking the inside of a barrel. which we have done here.
I've never heard anybody say wine has a meaty nose.
But yes, we do sometimes use the things and then we catch ourselves and we have to shout out at ourselves. And it doesn't smell like bull blood. I have smelled cow blood before and cow blood doesn't smell great.
It smells like that. Well, I mean,
about to die. But I'm not mad at this.
I rated it higher than the first one. I rated it higher.
I don't. I like the name and the bottle design more. Like, it's, I want the aqueduct in the Sangre de Toro. because I love the bottle. Yeah. I like the look. I like the vibe because this is like sexy and adult,
yeah,
but young adult. Like this is for like a this is for like grown-ups who are like 32, 33.
The tax whereas, base.
Yeah, the tax base.
The actual, yeah.
That everyone is leaning on.
The person who has an IRP vibe.
The middle classes. Here, these are all the people not paying taxes, who haven't been paying taxes since
and
they were...
And they've got like offshore bank accounts and shell companies. That's
Both of them are shelf companies. Like just or over $100
Both.
Yeah, just over 100 bucks.
Similar price points.
So
I'd buy the bull one because it comes a little bull toy as well, which is cool. It's like a Happy Meal. That wine is like a Happy Meal. It comes a little toy, which is nice. Why not?
And he's not lying.
No, he's absolutely not lying.
A little bull.
He's a little bull.
No, I could. Look, I wouldn't be mad if I found this in my house, but if you asked me to choose between the two, I would choose La Quadruc.
I'd choose the bull. I would. I felt like this La Quadruc was a bit...
Wait, did we even give the bull a chance? Bit. Like, we haven't even, like, let it breathe through a conversation. Okay, no, but the breathing thing is because apparently you need to let the toxins out.
What? What are we doing?
I'm joking. Listen, I don't know.
We all need antibiotics on this episode.
I don't know what the breathing thing is. Okay, but no, let's because we lived with this one for a bit, so let's see how La Quadruc. I hate pronouncing it just because it sounds pretentious.
Now it's been like La Quadruc. Like Willy's tried a lot with this, like. It's a house brand. It is a house brand. It's come from Willy's. Only Willy sellers.
But I mean, you say it sounds pretentious, but I mean, that's our country. Like, anytime Bethany opens a restaurant, she's not going to open a Moyo or something traditional. It's going to be something Italian or French or...
Let's ask that question.
This is not local.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the pretentious...
People want pretentious.
Oh, the pretentious. People want pretentious.
Yeah.
Let's ask that question, because why are people not opening more African?
Have you seen how many Greek restaurants have just popped up? Like tapas, mezzo.
And this is the thing I don't understand, because
yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
There are a lot of people who are not European here, who like their home cooking. So. Why not make a restaurant for them? Like, and I know there have been a couple. And okay, to be fair, I was one of those people who for a long time was like, I'm never eating ulusu that my grandmother didn't make. But now my grandmother can't remember who I am half of the time. So can I really trust her recipe? Like, can I trust that she won't remember?
Sorry that I'm laughing at that. That's
no, it's funny. Like, it's funny. That was meant like, as a, like, I don't know. Like, maybe I should actually just go to Voter and be like, Voter, have you cleaned this properly? Why aren't we making more of the shit we want to eat?
Moyo tried it and to be honest, it didn't really succeed.
They were trying to be too artisanal with it. It was like, dude, settle down.
I will tell you Moyo's problem. And I saw it more than once. Moyo's problem is that they didn't know what they wanted to do. Moyo had African decor. The space was far too big.
Oh, yeah.
But they had African decor, but the food was like... African, but for tourists.
Yeah.
It was like kind of African, but kind of Italian, like, but kind of German.
So Moyo's Lewis Hamilton, because it's just pandering to
you. It's like, it did exactly.
I had
it
crocodile,
didn't know what it wanted to do.
Crocodile mini pies. How is it African? Besides the crocodile part of it.
Or like, they have like sauteed crocodile. Or like, so you're...
You know what I think would pop off? If you actually just had like... And when we say African, it doesn't have to be South African. If you just pop open a Ghanaian restaurant or a Nigerian restaurant, they have gari or some...
They have some jollof.
Jollof rice or some egusi soup.
Guys, that egusi soup, I'm not even going to lie, it's kind of fire.
That's what I'm talking about. So
they've had Ethiopian restaurants here in Norwood.
Yeah, they got Africa Lounge right here. Y'all don't want to go to Africa Lounge. I'm just saying.
But no one's got.
But, no. But you're talking about isolated, like outliers.
He makes. I'll give.
So like all these people popping off like Greek, mezzo this and Greek resh on that and Italian this and that.
I know why
as well.
There's some like okay, just open. I'm telling you, open a Ghanaian restaurant in like Orange Grove or like near Gotham City in Hillbrook.
These boys have financial backing and those places are franchised.
Okay, now we do have different things.
So if you have huge financial backing, be like, guys, this is the Plaka or Mizo whatever franchise agreement. Pay your money and here's your spot to do the set menu. You're gonna do it, whether you're Greek or not, because it's a business opportunity. No one's doing that with African businesses. Maybe it's a trust thing. Maybe it's a racist thing. I don't know. But no one's coming with that big financial backing to be like, let's franchise the fuck out of this.
Builds in, but kind of doesn't. My thing was, I was gonna say, that's the issue. Look at how these things are perceived. For whatever reason, that I'm sure we can all see, but don't need to go into it. If you look at Greek food, it's like, oh. If you look at Italian food, it's like, oh.
I'm not going to lie, that Kolonaki in Parker slaps. That
it does.
Kolonaki
does slap.
That place does slap. Slaps.
Kolonaki does slap.
Like, if fellas, if you're ever in the dog box, your girl's
I mad literally as shit. Pulled myself out of the dump box
with Kolonaki, dog. If your girl's mad as shit, take it to fam.
And it's not as expensive as it.
On site, yes.
It's actually pretty.
Yo, dude, like 300 for two people.
No, that is cheap.
I repeat, 300 for two people.
Yeah.
I went ham for 500. Like, I thought it was gonna be 8. Yeah. And dude brought the fire. I was like, oh, my nigga, listen, have a...
Buy yourself something nice.
You know which other place...
You got me out of a problem.
You know what other place will get you out of the dog box, but it is a little bit more expensive? Is that place in... also in in Parkhurst, but just before Foundry, it's at La Boqueria.
La Cucina.
No.
Oh, because La Cucina... La Cucina costs...
La Boqueria. That is pricey, though.
But... The vibe and the food is amazing.
It is. But yeah. Again, so here's my thing, right? Italian food.
Ooh.
Spanish food.
Ooh. Italian food in Italy overrated.
When I went to Rome, I was like, what am I eating?
It is bullshit. Italian food in Italy is bullshit.
This is bullshit.
It's bull fucking shit.
It's legit. Okay.
Oh my God.
Let me not.
Pasta.
It's not make as. Your point. Make your it's point. Not as. It's, my point is simply this. We have done a very good job of looking at our own food and sort of saying, eh. So now when someone tries to run a restaurant selling our own food, because half of a restaurant's vibe is it's PowerPoint, it's presentation, it's how it looks, it's what it's perceived as.
Like remember when like the industrial restaurants where you like have the copper pipes and like you don't have a ceiling, now you can actually see all like the but it's just like painted black, but you can see all the aqueducts and all the copper and all the piping and everything. And that became like the industrial look, and you pair like a wood, like your chairs are wood and your tables are wood, and like
yes.
We get rid of the plates, and now we're serving food on
like yuck on and slate and all that shit.
That's my whole new place.
And it's
you just described.
Yeah, that's not even a lie. But and that's kind of the point. it's kind of exactly that. But that's kind of the point. Like we have this thing where. So, I was watching this documentary where they were talking about how Bob, right? We think that is African food.
Mm-mm.
No. And this lady was like, fam, this thing never, it was never, like, it came there. When they brought Jesus, they brought Bob with them.
Yeah. Maize like, was not our
we
thing.
We didn't know what maize.
Why is Africa don't we eat yams?
We do. It's called sweet potato.
Yeah, like...
No, but no, the Nigerian yam is something
else. I mean, that's also because there's a lot more oxygen in
that. Yeah.
No, like...
That equator, that Tropic of Capricorn.
Their scrum halves are 6'6".
Yeah.
And plantain? They have plantain in Nigeria.
Plantain,
But, and it speaks to, again, the way a lot of our food has been characterized is that it's like... Okay, you're going to eat that for traditional functions specifically, or, oh, that's that dirty thing. Like, no one really looks at, like, Ulusu and goes, oh, I could make a high-end version.
Dog.
I mean, people are starting to know.
I went to Hilbra. I went to a Nigerian restaurant with Dario. Weird thing that a Portuguese guy was introducing me to Nigerian food, but it happened. And 50 rand, I had a 5-course breakfast.
Mm.
50 rand. I was so full.
This is why these Nigerians are so big. Five breakfasts.
Rand. There was everything from scrambled eggs to jollof to garri.
Jollof rice, eh?
To agusi. Like, I was full. Do you know how filling garri is? And garri is not even Nigerian. It's like, well, it's mainly like Ghanaian.
Wait, what is garri?
Yeah.
Garri is like a root. That they ground, like, it's ground down, mm-hmm. and it has a consistency of ground down maize,
mm-hmm.
and it behaves in the same way that maize does. So you can make also a porridge, kind of looks like yeah, kind of yeah. Mm-hmm. You well, it's like mainly like
mealy-meal kind of vibes.
But no, but it's a root.
Ah.
So like, you know, you're talking about like plantain and all the other roots.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's a root, but they it's ground down, dehydrated, and you can make it into anything.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shit.
Do you know how filling that thing is? Dog, that's why these niggas are so jacked up. That's why they took the good slaves to America. They were all eating garri.
Hey.
Dude.
Charlie.
Wait, are you telling me that's
Oga.
Why they brought...
Oga now.
Is this why they didn't take slaves out of South Africa into America? They actually brought slaves from India to South Africa.
Yes.
Like, actually.
Y'all are too small.
Fam, they looked at the Sutu niggas. They were like, look at your bird noises.
Y'all wrapped in blankets in the summer. It's hot, fam. Take the blankets off. Why are you in blankets?
Ooh. Okay, guys.
Are we in the weeds?
Yeah, we're in the weeds.
Guys, also, like, for the food thing, I think because of Africa, we also consume a lot of Western media. We might have all been caught by the media, fam.
I think we have. That's kind of the point I'm making. Caught by the media.
When you eat, like, those fuckers eat.
Italian food is shit.
Yeah, it is.
I'm giving you.
Italian in Italy. No. American Italian. So African Italian.
I will
good.
Say this. Zio in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The food is amazing.
Mm.
Like, yeah, even the vegan shit, fam.
Thank you for putting the plug in there.
No, I put you. Fam, you're going to go like this. You are just going. Fam. The food. I've been twice. Oh my god, the food is.
We're not doubting that. Italian food is great. I'm saying that I was very disappointed with Italian food in Italy.
Yes, that's because Italian food in Italy is bland.
It is.
Like,
and
they
cold.
Don't believe in
and
spices.
And it's fucking cold. Mm.
They don't believe in spices.
And it's room temperature.
They're like, here, I've made you tomato sauce.
Room temperature.
There's nothing in this tomato sauce. What they've done is they've just squashed the tomato. They're like, here's tomato sauce. You're like, nah, bitch.
You want seasoning. You want seasoning, they give you Parmesan cheese. That's your seasoning.
God,
life.
God, stop.
No, we're not even lying to you, fam. We're not even lying to you.
I wouldn't have believed him before I went, but I was like, fam.
You want a topping on your pizza?
I prefer the McDonald's.
It's gonna be mushrooms at most. Don't you dare ask for green peppers on your pizza. Sacrilege.
Like, they had a whole dude who made the things, and he was like, because it was like for Netflix. And like,
so is this why the British got so rich just with the spice roots?
Yeah, fam, because the British were like, we see these whites.
For spice.
They were like, we see these whites. These whites know nothing about food.
They don't know how to eat, man.
Let's go find the other ones. Fam, when they came back,
Columbus.
The other ones were like, yo,
that's
what
are you cooking? That's why whites are eating with cutlery. They're trying to get away from the food. We eat with our hands, bro.
And look now, British people eat with their hands. Now when they eat, they're like, oh shit, it's a kebab.
Columbus was Italian. He went all the way to India, tried to find India to find spice. He ended up in America, North
that's
America.
That's a wild-ass wrong offer.
And he made him a hero.
Because he left for spice.
I think he got caught by a current. Hey, that current carried him, bro. You know, you don't know what anything about sailing.
You're sailing in your
bro.
Mind, you believe there's an end to the world. You're sailing and you think, I'm going to fall off soon.
Okay.
For
guys,
spice.
I am enjoying this and we can continue this whole thing, but we are now an hour and 14 minutes in talking about spice.
He left for spice for his food. He got tired of just having Parmesan cheese on his pasta. Tired.
Is this why the Quakes were having so many wars, bro?
Fam, they were fighting for nice food.
Just for food.
Just for taste. Think about it. The tastiest thing whites ever invented was a macaroon. That was it.
And then they went to India and tasted a samosa. They're like, yo, why is this thing burning me? Why am I burning?
Did you notice why that? They didn't leave again for 400 years. Niggas was fighting for that job of viceroy. They were like,
nah, fam.
Anyway, guys, this has been episode 11, Parktown Alcoholics. As per usual, we's out here. Fuck off.